The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. As we've been talking about, how do we get this economy rolling quicker? And, you know, what I've said is that I do think we need to get the young and healthy back to work. And while saying that, I think everybody who is working from home now should continue to work from home if it's as efficient as possible for your company, if you haven't lost a beat. And, you know, for us here at Cairo Radio, a lot of us are working from home in all our stations, and it's proven to be very, very workable. And I do believe that every company that has figured out a new paradigm of working from home should continue to do so. Everybody who is at risk or near the at-risk categories should self, not quarantine, but, you know, stay at home, should make that decision for themselves. And I think the young and healthy who don't have the option of working from home should get back to work. But the stay at home is at the center of a controversy up in Snohomish County. Let's get to our exclusive Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, if you were listening last week, you heard Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney on our show. He was telling me that he will not support Jay Inslee's stay-at-home order. He will not enforce it against any businesses or social gathering people who are in violation in Snohomish County. And in the wake of this, somebody up in Snohomish County has filed a recall petition against Sheriff Fortney. Her name is Lori Shavlik. She joins us here on Cairo Radio. Lori, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I have found an awful lot of support among my listeners for Adam Fortney. They think that he is speaking for a growing number of people who think that things have gone a little bit too far with the shutdown. Why do you want to have him recalled?
Okay, the main issue is whether or not the process that he's following is the right process to follow. I, just like everyone else, want to be out amongst everyone, but the process is not through our elected law enforcement officers. The process would be through the governor. I think the message that he's sending to people is that if they decide that they don't want to follow the law, they won't, and that's very dangerous.
Well, a lot of politicians do that in Snohomish County. Snohomish County is a sanctuary county. They refuse to follow
Absolutely.
Immigration laws. Have you filed recalls against all the politicians who support sanctuary?
No, I have not.
Why not?
Because I haven't followed that.
Okay, do you consider that just as dangerous?
Absolutely. Anyone that decides that they are going to take the law into their own hands is dangerous. The really big issue is the difference because he is an elected law enforcement officer. And if you look at the RCW, his duty is assigned that we've elected him to do is to enforce the law and not create the law or create some kind of dangerous idea that you can just pick up any belief that you have and then ignore the laws.
Okay.
I believe in the First Amendment.
Okay, and I just want to, you know, make sure about consistency. You feel the same way about Jay Inslee? Do you think that he is a very dangerous person as well? Because he won't follow laws that he doesn't like. And again,
he's the most dangerous because he's the one that's establishing it from the top. I in a lot of ways, agree with Adam Fortney. However, the dangerous part of this for me is that there's a lot of different interpretations of what level of who decides what laws to follow. Okay. And he's giving the message to our community that you can just decide what you want to follow and what you don't.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just saying every politician is doing that in our state, whether it's sanctuary or legalizing drugs or the stay-at-home order. We have politicians at every level of government that violate the laws they don't like. So I guess I'm trying to understand. So if every politician does it, why would Adam Fortney be the only one to get recalled over it?
So I'm following the process, and I would agree with you. And if you knew who I was and what I do on a daily basis, I go into the courts and I record hearings. I see judges making horribly wrong decisions that don't follow the law. I am an activist for people who I don't know. I am always out there trying to do the right thing for people.
Oh, no, Lori, I've done my background on you. I mean, I found Lori Shavlik versus Dawson's Place, which is some nonprofit. And I don't know what all these are about. That was November of
last year. Oh, you should know about them.
I don't have time to know about every one of these. But Lori Shavlik versus the city of Snohomish, Lori Shavlik versus the city of Gold Bar. So, I see that you are. I mean, I don't mean this derogatorily, but you appear to be what a lot of us refer to as a professional plaintiff.
Well, I'm not sure what the term is, professional plaintiff. What I would suggest that you think about it is that I am a very passionate person that feels that if something is wrong and there's something I can do about it, I will.
Okay, and look, believe me, I love that. I really do. I think that people are – I might disagree with you on Adam Fortney, but that doesn't matter. I you're a citizen, and I love people. My whole purpose with my radio show, Lori, is to be a watchdog of government. And I have no problem with citizens wanting to do the exact same thing. And I know it's a lot tougher when you don't have the platform of a radio show. So believe me, I have no problem with that. One of the things, though, that I saw as I was doing research, you tried to recall Adam Fortney before the coronavirus thing even happened, back in February on a police brutality issue based on some YouTube video that was shot of a police incident, right?
Okay, so you have a little bit of it, right? There was a YouTube video. It was regarding the Nicholas Peters murder and him rehiring the police officer back that murdered him and generously gave 2 years of back pay to Art Whelan, but I didn't start a recall. There was absolutely no recall that I've ever started before this.
I mean, you posted this YouTube video and the title of it is www.recalladamfortney.com.
Okay, so you're right. I changed that within days ago. So if you go back to the Wayback Machine or whatever platform you use to look at the history of the domain.
Yeah, I use the Wayback Machine.
That was not what it started with.
Okay.
It was not what it was started with. In fact, the only knowledge that I had about a recall was that on April 23rd, that you will find, and I am on radio, I did not know anything about a recall until that day, on April 23rd.
The
night of the 22nd.
You changed the title of the YouTube video that you posted on February 1st.
Yes, because I felt that people were communicating and going to that platform a lot. In fact, there was a lot of messages relating to the recall. So other people brought the recall to that page. And then I go, oh, what a wonderful platform to get this message out, right? I did edit it.
I'm very confused by this, though, because did you also edit your description of the video? Because I didn't know.
Yes.
I didn't know you could do that on YouTube. You can?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Absolutely. Into edit the movie.
Okay.
You know, like.
But I mean, the description, of course, all this predated stay at home and COVID-19. And you say Adam Fortney, the violence he approves. You cannot support this criminal behavior from our government. And so you believed he was a criminal before stay at home?
Absolutely. And I can give you many reasons why. There's been lawsuits filed against Adam Fortney for releasing his officer dog, you know, his helper dog. On a man who lifted up his hands and said, "I surrender." He unleashed his canine and it attacked
him. I want you to understand, I can't just hear one side of a story, because just because something's alleged in a lawsuit, if I don't have any knowledge of it and I cannot fairly present the other side, that would not be fair for my radio show to do. You understand that? I trust.
Well, you asked me asked me about the history, and I was giving you a little bit of history.
Okay. No,
and
I appreciate
if you
that.
Want, right? And so I guess what you're trying to say is, did this just all come about? No, it's been in the works, and I do believe that committing murder and covering up murder is.
You cannot call somebody a murderer if they haven't been convicted. I mean, that's a slanderous thing.
If someone is dead,
you can call them an alleged murderer. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, so here's the bottom line. So I fully support you being a watchdog of government. I disagree with you on Adam Fortney, but that doesn't matter one whit. I still support your right to pursue whatever you choose through the proper channels. It just seemed like, from all the research that I had done, that this was going way back and coronavirus was being used as the latest excuse to recall this guy.
Well, coming from a person who sides with him, I would agree that it appears that way.
Uh-huh.
But I can give you my 100% honesty and tell you that it has been a progression of his actions. And even in the other news reports, it shows that within the 4 months that he's been in office, there's been many controversial things that have happened. And that is, the murder of Nicholas Peters was one of them.
Well, nobody has been charged with murder. So that's an unfair thing to say. But again, I understand.
The county settled for $1 million. And the video that I posted was never turned over to the family.
The video doesn't tell us anything. That video is shot from quite a distance. All you see are flashing blue police lights. That doesn't tell us anything. I watched it.
I was able to hear the screaming of the woman that he lifted by her hair.
I know, but
the murder.
There's always screaming. There's always screaming when you have a police encounter like that. Okay. But look, hey, Lori,
if that was my son, or if that was your son, I think we would be under a different circumstance. He was pulled over for a traffic violation and he ended up dead.
Yeah, I know. But there are a lot of other details that we just don't have time to go into right now. But
get the police reports.
I followed the story when it happened.
Brady list.
Okay. I understood. Look, bottom line, Lori, I love conversations like this. I respect your right to be a watchdog of government. And just because I disagree with you on Fortney doesn't mean one bit. I still respect your right to do everything you're doing, okay?
Okay.
All right. It was nice talking with you. I appreciate you coming on with me in Seattle.
Thank you.
There you go. Lori wants to recall Adam Fortney. And, yeah, I mean, I think this is about more than stay at home, which is all the media has cited the last couple of days. It goes back to, you know, other issues that she had that long predated this. And like so many other things, you know, I think that stay at home and coronavirus is being adopted by a lot of individuals and politicians to try to push an agenda through. I'll give you another example of that. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
One person who has been another poster child of the radical, let's release all the prisoners left, is a 30-year-old mother named Andrea Circle Bear. And as you know, there is a movement here in Washington, there's another one going on in California, that has been trying to get even killers released from prison. In our state, Jay Inslee has released 1,000 felons onto the streets because of coronavirus. even though there is scant evidence that keeping them in prison would have a high mortality rate, there certainly is a possibility when you release hundreds of felons who have multiple gun crimes that people will die because they are released. And that's one of the very disingenuous parts of the conversation that's going on right now, because I have said that I am for accelerating getting back to work. And I'm not saying let's drop all mitigation. I said just a few minutes ago, I think everybody who's working from home, if that works for you and your employer, you should continue to do so for the foreseeable future. I think it's great for the everybody else who has to drive on our roads. You know, this has to be just bliss for our great delivery drivers, you know, USPS, UPS, FedEx, all of them. I know, I always leave a bunch out, and I don't mean to. But can you imagine dealing with Puget Sound area traffic every day of your life, and they're on this, you know, incredible, challenging schedule to keep up, or incredibly, to keep up the pace of deliveries. And now all of a sudden, the roads have been relatively wide open for them. So, yeah, I think that everybody who can continue to work from home should. I think everybody at risk should stay at home. I think young and healthy who cannot work from home should get back to work. It's that simple. But here's, and when I say that, people say, yeah, but what about the 800 who have died, Dory? And so that's what's happening now with Andrea Circlebear, 800 in Washington State, by the way, when I say that. New York Times had a story. It's just all over because she's the first federal prisoner to die after contracting the coronavirus, a 30-year-old mother who just weeks earlier gave birth while on a ventilator. Andrea Circlebear, she was serving 26 months in prison, and she had just started her sentence. And she contracts the coronavirus while pregnant, gives birth, then she dies. And now, again, the radical, let's release all the prisoners. Let's get the killers back on the streets. They're saying, look at Andrea Circlebear. This is why we have to release the prisoners. Andrea Circlebear, I looked into why she was in prison for 26 months. She sold $850 worth of meth to a buyer who turned out to be a confidential police informant. But if you get popped for selling to a confidential informant, you likely have sold drugs 50 or 100 times without any criminal repercussions. Now, in the New York Times, they tell the story. She developed a fever, a dry cough, more coronavirus symptoms. She was taken to the hospital 3 days after the baby's birth. Her test came back positive, and then she died last week. Should have been released from prison, right? How many people that she sold meth to have had their lives destroyed by that? How many died because of it? If a methamphetamine dealer gets out of prison right at the beginning of her sentence and comes to learn that there are no repercussions for dealing drugs in America, then what's their disincentive to not deal drugs when they're released, if that's where the money is? And how many people die if we release the drug dealers back onto the streets? If Jay Inslee releases the gun felons back onto the streets, how many people will die? And that's where, you know, for those of us who say, let's get people back to work, you're disrespecting the dead. You're disrespecting those who will die. If you're somebody who says, let's release all the prisoners. And, you know, I saw another New York Times story. Child sex abuse is, I mentioned this yesterday. New York Times headline, the coronavirus could cause a child abuse epidemic. And there's a lot of collateral damage by keeping the stay at home going. We're seeing clear signs of that as well. Let's just have fair conversations about this. Let's present both sides and not just, we're the media. We gotta present the release of all the prisoners because a pregnant woman died. Now, probably a lot of her meth customers have seen their lives destroyed too. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, got a lot of other news to talk about. We'll have our awesome audio of the day. Also, the tribal casinos say they are going to reopen. At least one says it is going to reopen way before the phase where that would otherwise be allowed. But they are a sovereign nation, and they are not subject to Jay Inslee's declarations. Tell you about that. Lots more straight ahead. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. Dory Monson Show rolls on. What a gorgeous afternoon this is. I just stepped outside. Beautiful day. Oh, Sean DeTore. Paging Sean DeTore.
Yes, sir.
Do you have the president up and available for us?
I sure do.
President Trump just started speaking in Arizona about our COVID-19 response. A little breaking news for you here. On the Dory Monson Show, let's bring you a little bit of the president. We'll not bring this in great length, but just a few minutes here. Rhode Island.
Together, these new factories will soon produce more than 20 million N95 respirators every single month, a truly miraculous achievement. We're grateful to be joined by Secretary of Labor Gene Scalia and Governor Doug Ducey. What a fantastic governor he is. Where is Doug? Where is Doug? Thank you, Doug. You're doing a fantastic job. And he already won his election by like 17 points, so I don't have to praise him too much. But I will say that he has been a fantastic governor. That's, you people recognize it. That's why he had what they say is a walk. It's very good. We're proud of you, Doug. And anything we can do, you're going to call me. We don't have to worry about that. He calls me plenty. He calls me plenty because he's doing his job. But I want to thank you both. And, Gene, the job you're doing is fantastic. Thank you both very much. We appreciate it. Thank you, Gene. And I also want to express my appreciation to Senator Martha McSally.
All right. I think I've heard enough. I don't want to hear about praise of Arizona politicians. He's speaking at a mask production facility down in Arizona right now that's producing millions of those N95 masks. But I don't want to bore you with praising of Arizona politicians. So we'll get back to the local stuff that I was going to talk about here. One of the other casualties, I saw Didi Sun at Cairo 7. Had a story about how our medical community, especially the small family clinics that so many of us go to, they are just getting destroyed right now. And this is another part of the equation of the stay at home. What a lot of doctors fear is, first of all, the medical community is getting wiped out. And this is one of the huge problems that I have with Jay Inslee and with most politicians on this. The initial reason for all the mitigation for the stay at home stuff that I support was our hospitals and emergency rooms are going to be overrun and we are going to be treating patients on the sidewalk and bodies are going to be lined up. And other than New York City, that just hasn't happened anywhere in America. And even in New York City, we need a Navy hospital ship. And they sent a Navy hospital ship. They didn't need it. Jay Inslee, we need the Army to come put in a hospital at Central Link Center. And so the Army came in, spent millions of dollars, put in a hospital. Not one patient. Not one. And the reason for all of this at the beginning was our hospitals are going to be overrun and our medical system is going to collapse from the sheer number of people. And that never happened. And so now they've had to tell us all kinds of other reasons for why they are doing this. And now it's just people are going to die if we don't. Well, it's becoming clear that people are dying because of stay at home. You know, whether it is the, you know, collapsing economy and suicides that will ensue, the mental illness, the child abuse that the New York Times says is an epidemic under stay at home. And as Dee Dee Sun reported to Channel 7, hospitals and healthcare providers, they are laying off and furloughing employees left and right. Because as, you know, a lot of us are staying at home, we're not going to doctor appointments even. We're scared to go to the clinic. And so maybe you have high blood pressure. Maybe you have diabetes. And you're just afraid. I'm not going to go in with other sick people. And so people are getting sicker and sicker. And these small clinics, these family clinics, they are getting financially destroyed. They might disappear because of all of this. Therese Pasquier talked to Dee Dee Sun. She's with Sound Family Medicine, and she said that they are just seeing a huge decrease in patients.
We are seeing about a 47% drop in visits. For a practice like ours, if patients don't come in, we don't get paid. So our employees are, you know, they're hurting. We did have to make the difficult decision of furloughing 25% of our staff.
So early on, we were told by our politicians that we have to take all of these, you know, collapse the economy efforts because our medical system will get overrun. And now we're finding out a month later that our medical system is collapsing, not because of the number of patients, but because they don't have any revenues. They have no patients. And so the government says, but our strategy is not going to change. We're still going to tell you to stay at home. We're just going to come up with a different reason why. Which makes me wonder about the sincerity of the proclamations. Erica Gilson, a nurse practitioner, told Channel 7.
Every floor is losing somebody. Sound Family Medicine's truly a family, so it's hard.
A medical assistant there, Destiny, is very worried.
I take care of my grandparents, so it's just me working right now. So I was just like, man, like, what am I going to do if I do get furloughed?
Oh, no, you're being assigned by government in the category of losers, not you as an individual, but your profession. The government is destroying small family medicine practices.
MultiCare Health System is asking employees to voluntarily furlough for a week and is projecting losses of more than $75 million for both April and May. Grays Harbor Community Hospital is reducing staff by 18% and says it only has 45 days worth of cash on hand. Virginia Mason cut pay to salaried leadership and also furloughed some employees. The impact to small practices is even more severe.
Okay, so is this healthy? But again, we're not supposed, and great job, Channel 7, but we're not supposed to bring up that there are tremendous casualties by collapsing the economy. And so we'll continue to spotlight these stories because it's out of hand when government tells us the reason why we're doing something, the reason never materializes, and they don't change one bit in their course of action. They just change in their stated reasons for the course of action. And that's when you and I better be very, very skeptical. All right, lots more to do. We'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, we just all made plans. The extended family hanging out with us. There's a local taco truck. within walking distance. We're going to go support it tonight, support a local business on this Cinco de Mayo. It's that time of day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
All right, number three, Donald Trump continues to speak right now down in Arizona. He spoke a little earlier today, and one of the things that he was asked about, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Fauci, he says he doesn't want him talking to the House because the House, Democrat-controlled, is filled, the president says, with the same old Trump haters.
Number three.
Because the House is a setup. The House is a bunch of Trump haters. They put every Trump hater on the committee, the same old stuff. They frankly want our situation to be unsuccessful, which means death, And our situation is going to be very successful.
That was of a thing called the Lincoln Project?
A thing called the Lincoln Project, and I would have them change the name to the Losers Project, because if you take a look at Schmidt, it's this George Conway, the guy is, Kellyanne must have done a big number on him, but it's George Conway and it's some other people, Weaver, every one of them I either defeated or they lost by themselves, but it's a group of major losers.
Major lose. That's got to be quite the marriage. Those have to be some evenings. Kellyanne Conway remains one of the president's spokespeople and most ardent supporters, and her husband remains one of the president's biggest haters out there. And then when he talked about losers, they asked him, well, will you name the losers? It's Trump. Of course he will.
I guess they don't like me, but let me just tell you, these are losers from day one. Guys like Bill Kristol. He's 0-32. George Conway, you take a look at him. Just take a look at that guy. The man's a stone-cold loser. So they should not call it the Lincoln Project. It's not fair to Abraham Lincoln, a great president. They should call it the Losers Project. Okay, thanks.
Stone-cold loser. Number two, Marshawn Lynch. Anytime you put his name in the headline, it gets clicks. And he told ESPN that he has talked with the Seahawks about coming back next season.
Number two.
You know, I could go in many different places and leave my footprint for the, you know, for one day they go and tell somebody like, oh, yeah, that boy Marshawn came through. And, you know what I mean? He was a real dude. You feel me? So no. I just try to make my mark on places that I go to.
And they said, why do people just get happy when they talk about you?
Nah, man, I really just be, you know what I mean? I just be chilling in. You feel me, though? I just be vibing, moving around, moving and grooving. You feel me, though? But, I mean, I don't really look at it like that. I ain't really doing nothing else. So, I mean, you know, there's just be wiggling a little bit.
He's just chilling. He's moving and grooving. And he said, yes, his agent has talked with the Seahawks.
Well, I mean, it's almost on that expect the unexpected. But, I mean, you know, just as far as right now, what I do know is, I'm going to keep it silent, like, is that, you know, my agent have been in talk with Seattle. So, like I said, we'll see what happens. If it work out and they, you know what I mean, and I get back up there, it is what it is. And, I mean, if not, I'm living good. So, I ain't really tripping too much.
There you go. Marshawn, will he be a Seahawk again? Who knows? At number one, everybody's sick of staying at home. That's especially true for Adrian. Adrian was driving down the freeway in Utah, driving very erratically. The state patrol was tracking him. And, oh, my goodness, they pulled him over. And the state patrol trooper who pulled him over, as I refresh my audio here, was absolutely shocked at what he saw.
Number one.
I could see a car that was weaving badly back and forth between lanes. It amazed me when he heard my siren that he did pull right over and stop. It was pretty clear when the window came down that it was a young, very underage driver. He was sitting on the front edge of the seat so that he could reach the brake pedal.
How young a driver? Adrian was 5 years old. He said that he wanted to go to California. to get a Lamborghini.
He wanted to buy a Lamborghini when he got there, and he showed a wallet with $3.
Adrian, 5 years old, going to get a Lambo in California. That's our awesome audio of the day, and that's going to do it for us. Glad you hung out with us this afternoon. Let's see, we'll talk to Brock Heward tomorrow. Oh, we got some other good stuff already in the works. You take care. God bless you in these crazy times. Tom and Curly coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow at high noon. See you then.
This was just another day for me to overcome. My attitude is nothing can bring me down, and it's really easy to do that here, Rick. And you know this because I work with a man that also has no legs.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.